The word Indrahanam means one who can kill Indra, but it also means one who follows Indra. The word Amrityum refers to the demigods who do not die like ordinary human beings because they have extremely long durations of life. For example, the duration of Lord Brahma's life is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Viduh. Even the duration of one day of 12 hours of Brahma is 4,300,000 years multiplied by 1,000. Thus, the duration of his life is inconceivable for an ordinary human being. The demigods are therefore sometimes called Amara, which means one who has no death. In this material world, however, everyone has to die. Therefore, the word Amrityum indicates that Diti wanted a son who would be equal in status to the demigods. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chuksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadam. Panchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'm going to spend majority of our time in the principle of what is called detached caring. I'm not going to spend so much time on the lifespan of demigods, which by the way is very long. It is very inconceivable to the human beings. Just as it is described, Prabhupada would often sometimes say, like an insect, there's a particular insect that is born at night and it dies at sunrise. So his whole life cycle is at night. And if someone were to tell that little insect, do you know there are human beings who live 100 years or whatever, long years, and he will calculate in terms of his 12-hour period. 12 times 2 times whatever times 3 times 365. Wow, that's really long. Come on. Kidding me. So what does a little insect know? Similarly, human beings, little insects, compared to the demigods, what do we know? The lifespans are very long because time is relative in the different realms of the universe. But I want to focus more on something that's here for us, right? You know, we deal with, perhaps, if not now, it is coming someday. Here's the situation. Kashyapa, who is the husband of Diti, who is also the husband of Aditi, and both of them are sisters. So on one hand, his two sons have been killed by or because of the other son, Aditi's son, Indra. So two cousins or two half-brothers, they're fighting. And one half-brother was the cause of the death of the other two. So Diti comes crying and she serves her husband very nicely and he's very pleased. Oh. And what does he say? Ask for anything you like. Mistake number one. Be careful when you have to say ask for anything you like because she will ask that you may not like. So she asks for, oh Varada, oh the giver of benedictions, if you really want to give me a benediction, give me the benediction of a son who will be immortal and who will kill your other son. What kind of benediction are you seeking? There are other instances in the history of this world where such requests have been made. Dasharath had four wives. Kaushalya. Three wives, Kaushalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi was the youngest and the dearmost, the prettiest. He loved her like anything. And Kaikeyi actually had helped King Dasarath in a very interesting war. It is described that when he was fighting with the demons once, Dasarath was invited by the demigods, "Can you come up to the heavens and help us fight a little war, please?" So when he did that, he took Kaikeyi with him. And it is described that in the middle of the war, the chariot wheel was about to be dislodged or dislocated. And actually, you know, if the wheel goes off, you know, he can't fight on it. Kaikeyi actually put her finger where a cog should be to keep the wheel in its place. She had that power in her. And so his wheel did not come off. So he was very happy, very pleased with her. And he said to her, "You can ask me two blessings or two benedictions, whatever they may be, I will fulfill your desire." And she said, "Not now, when the time comes." And some time passed. Dasarath Maharaj had announced to the entire kingdom of Ayodhya that my oldest son Sri Rama will become the prince regent, or he'll be crowned the king, and all his other brothers, Bharata, Lakshmana and Shatrughna, will be assistants. Everyone was overjoyed by such a news, except, of course, this is the abridged Ramayana version, but you get the idea, except Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi asked Dasarath a boon that shattered his heart to such a degree that he died from it. She said, "Remember, you want a little bit more dramatics, I'll give you the dramatics." She didn't show up in court that day. It was described that Dasarath, every day after he would finish the daily duties, he would go to Kaikeyi's palace. She would receive him very nicely. The whole house or her palace would be full of wonderful incense, very angelic young women walking around, beautiful music, and that's how the king would relax in the arms of Kaikeyi. That day Kaikeyi was not to be seen anywhere. So Dasarath kept searching and searching. He couldn't find her. So he asked the maid servants, "Where is my beloved wife Kaikeyi?" "Oh, she is in the sulking chamber." So when the queen would enter a sulking chamber, the king would know something's wrong. I need to do something. So it's described that she had all the lights turned off and she was lying down, and her back was turned to the king, so he will not see her face. So he came asking her, "What's going on? Why are you like this? You're always the pretty face who by your charming smile, you remove all the fatigue in my body and in my mind. What's wrong?" "I don't want to talk to you." "Oh, please, please tell me." "No, I don't want to talk to you." So he started coaxing her, "Please, please." He even massaged her feet. "Please tell me." She said, "All right, if you insist. I would like that my son Bharata actually becomes the king. Remember, you had promised me two benedictions." She reminded him of that. He said, "Yeah, I remember. I would like Bharata to be the king." He said, "How is that possible? I already announced Lord Rama would be the king, or future king. And my second benediction that I want is that you banish him to the forest for 13 years, 14 years. This was shattering. How can he say yes? How can he say no? Because he had made a promise. And Kshatriya means, in fact, it is said that any man is known by how he can keep his word. We have to keep his word. At the same time, it was the most shattering news to hear, because everyone loved Lord Ramachandra. So he went to ask her, "What is it in your heart that is making you treat Lord Rama like this?" She says, "I don't know, but these are my benedictions." And in fact, Kaikeyi's dearmost son was not Bharat, it was Lord Ramachandra. But suddenly the maternal affection was aroused to such a degree that she wanted Rama to be banished to the forest. Of course, the whole narration is fantastic of how Dasharatha pleads out. You have no idea how delicate Lord Ramachandra's soles of his feet are. He has never stepped on the ground. And what to speak of moving around in the forest with pebbles and stones and thorns. He's never been out like that. He's only very young. He's not even 14. No, he should go away. So this is where, because to please one, he had to displease another. Very, very tough spot to be in. And Kashyap is in the same position, or similar position. His one wife, Aditi, who has a son, Indra. And Indra, Vishnu supported Indra to kill Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And Diti could not see that. Kashyapa did not get to wound up in all of this because he saw Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha doing some really foolish things. Diti, for her it didn't matter. These are my sons. And although that is my sister, although that son is also like my son, it doesn't matter to me. So it puts Kashyapa in a very awkward place. And it is awkward for this reason, that just as Diti is attached to her sons, Kashyapa is attached to her. So the detached caring, coming to the topic, to care for someone, it is very important that the person giving the care is detached from the person and from the circumstance. Because if they are attached, they cannot see the whole picture. Or even if they see, they are unable to act on that. Like Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra also saw that his son Duryodhan was subjecting his nephews, the Pandavas, to so much or so many atrocities, but he could not say anything to Duryodhan. Only person who could say was Vidura, because he was detached from the whole thing. Now one might say, detachment, or usually a misunderstanding of the word detachment, is indifference. I don't care. No. Indifference is different from detachment. Because in indifference, love cannot flow. Because it'll be like, I don't care. Whether you live or die, who cares? That is indifference. In detachment, there is a lot of love and care. And one knows how to express that love in a way that is best for the receiver. And when one is attached because of that love, one becomes blind to the best possible means of expressing that love. Because in attachment, there are some issues, right? Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Because in that attachment are our own desires fitting in or sitting right there. Our own desires, or the caregiver's desire, if you will. Some people don't like first person. We can talk in second person, the third person. In the caregiver's heart, because of attachment, their ability to be neutral and their ability to see how best to help the other person goes away. Because in that is mixed their own happiness and distress. For example, let's say I have some particular relationship with this devotee, and I'm caregiver, and Michael and I have very strong, loving relationship. But if Michael is doing something that is not good for him, if I'm afraid to say, Michael, this is not good for you, don't do it. Because Michael will become upset with me, and if he becomes upset with me, I will lose a friend. And if I lose a friend, boy, I'm all alone. No one, what, now you see? In that is attached my own desire. A real life example, usually I'm not autobiographical, but I'll give you one. said this in the past. So, one of my very close friends, who was very supportive in the beginning few months, perhaps the first year of our coming to the temple, after some years, was getting ready to become initiated. And on the day prior to initiation, I came to know that the Prabhu is just not even ready for it. He has serious doubts about his spiritual master. He has perhaps not even chanting his rounds or something like that, but wanted the initiation because it's like a social confirmation of their standing. I've been coming for so many years, etc. So they wanted to go with it. And because I knew, or I came to know, I felt it's not right. But I had a problem. The problem was I couldn't tell him, hey, maybe you're not ready. Maybe this is not the right time for initiation. I couldn't say. Why? I was afraid to lose a friend. I was afraid that the very person who helped me in the beginning, I had some, not that they coached me or guided me, it's just that they were very supportive. They used to drive me to their temple, drive me back home, things like that. But they were very supportive. They were a friend. And that friend, I felt like I would hurt them. It's like, what? I helped you and now you're stabbing me? What's this? A2 Brutus or something. I couldn't say it. So I went to my spiritual master, you know, saying, I've come to know like this. What do I do? I'm unable to say. My spiritual master didn't waste any time. He said, oh, that's serious doership mentality. You are thinking, in all of this, his welfare is not anywhere in the picture. You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your friend, how they will perceive you. It's all about you. So step out of all of that for a moment and look at what is important for them. What was important for them is that they don't take that step. Or they approach their spiritual master and express. So my spiritual master, he helped me, he coached me through the whole step. Say to this person, hey, this is not the right way in which a relationship can be developed. If honesty is not the basis of that relationship, is there a relationship? It'll just look formal in the eyes of the public, but there's no substance there. And if you're finding it difficult to speak, I will hold your hand, we'll go together, I will be there to support you while you speak. If you like, I can even start it for you, but you speak. Here's how, I'm your friend, I'm here with you. And it doesn't mean anything that you're a bad person. In fact, I will see you in a much higher position for you for taking that step. And you saw that on my face, there was like this discomfort. So you told me, go to the temple room, chant one round nicely, and then go to the stocking. And that was one of the best rounds I ever chanted, because it was like, I have to say this, but I don't want to. And when I did, one, because Guru's order was there, but second, just because I was detached from the situation trying to help the person, I thought the person was going to throw something at me. I was like, yeah, you're right. Thank you for saying this. Thank you for helping me. So when one is detached, one can actually speak the truth and actually offer love to the other person. When one is attached, one cannot see it. Because sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodha abhijayate. Abhijata means to be born. What anger comes is, you didn't treat me nicely. I loved you so much and this is how you treat me. Now in this case, or similar case, where one is in between two persons or two parties, and he or she loves both parties very dearly, then what to do? And if one is even by mistake a little bit attached to one party, then their ability to see things in a proper way and also to help the other party becomes compromised. So being neutral, so being indifferent is not our position. Being neutral is our position. But oftentimes, neutrality and indifference are taken as the same thing. Neutrality means, I love this person, I also love this person very much. I don't dislike them any less, I don't dislike them any less or more. Both are equal to me. And I want to see both benefit in a proper way. When one is neutral, one can discipline. If one is not neutral, or let's say one is attached, we should say it this way. When one is detached, one can discipline in the right way. When one is attached, one cannot discipline. Dhritarashtra could not discipline his son. You'll see here, Kashyapa was not able to discipline Diti. He couldn't tell her, drop the idea. Because he already made the promise, I'll do whatever you want. And he was shocked that she would ask a benediction of this type. He's also suffering from both his sons being killed. What's more is that the other son killed. If a person were asked, do you like your left eye or right eye more? Michael would think about it. He's thinking about it. Any person loves either of his eyes, in fact, both of his eyes, dearly. So to say, give up one eye, is it the left one or the right one? It's like asking Kashyapa Muni, can you give me a benediction by which, you know, one eye will take over the other eye? He says, okay. Even Dasharatha got compromised because he made such a promise. So that neutrality is very, very important. And in neutrality, another aspect of neutrality is when one is neutral, one can genuinely help the person in need. Versus, let's say, I am a caregiver and I have two parties that I'm trying to work with. And let's say I have particular attachment to the party on my right. And the party on my left is speaking something that I know will cause some issues to the person on my right. Because I'm not neutral, I'm not able to see exactly what might be beneficial for the person on the right. So I tend to adjust my sense of caregiving to the person on my left. Our sense of love gets compromised. So one should be very careful. And generally, whichever side you take, you create friends or enemies. So it's described that Prahlad Maharaj says that the great devotees, the pure devotees, they are called Ajata Shatru. They don't have any friends or enemies. Because they don't take sides like that. The only side they will take is the side of truth. So when they take the side of truth, someone may become their enemy. When Prahlad Maharaj stood by the truth, Hiranyakashipu became his enemy. But it's not like they compromised on the truth. You understand? So, the only time to stand by something firmly is the truth. And in all circumstances, the truth is that each person sees things from their perspective. So, neutrality is to let both perspectives prevail. Or, when one perspective is not genuinely beneficial for that person's Krishna consciousness, then you have to adjust it. Otherwise, one's sense of neutrality becomes compromised. When Krishna says, I am the super soul, I don't have envy towards anyone, nor is anyone particularly dear to me. He always maintains that neutrality. Because in that neutrality, one can speak the truth. If one is not neutral, one cannot speak the truth. One's ability to be truthful gets compromised. For example, when we're dealing with family or friends or whoever, if we are not neutral, we cannot speak the truth to them. We feel that I will lose that friendship, I will lose that relationship. And that whole sense of I will lose this friendship or relationship comes from a bodily conception of love. So it all boils down to what we call Deha Buddhi. Thinking of oneself, this body, and the connections to this body as real relationships. But if one can learn to be neutral, they can speak the truth and the other person can perceive it too. Oh, this person really cares for me. That's why they're telling me. Right? If someone helps us, hey, you're heading down a path where there's a cliff at the end of it. We appreciate it. Oh, thank you. I did not know. But if the person's attached, oh, I don't know if I can say it because, you know, they'll feel bad. If they'll feel bad, then I'll feel bad. And so maybe I'll just keep quiet. When they drop off the cliff, they'll anyway come to know. Why? Okay, so those are some thoughts. Any comments? Acharyanist. Just ask, I'll repeat the question. Yeah. Right.
Now, looking at the context of the situation, I mean, to install Supreme Personality Godhead as the king, etc., that also seems like it would not have been a breach of Dharma to follow path. So are sometimes Kshatriyas bound by speaking the truth at the expense of a higher principle, of breaking the truth for religion, for a devotional activity?
No. One is that Dasarath did not know Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see it because we're standing, we're looking at it differently. Not detached, we're looking at it differently. We are not participants, we are spectators. But for Dasarath, it was the love for his son plus the honor of his word. Which, by the way, he also loved Kaikeyi very much. So for him it was very difficult as to how one person who he loves very much is asking for something totally against the other person that he loves very much. But because he had already given a word to Kaikeyi, he had to honor that. Otherwise, here's what happens. For the rest of history, that entire line will be tarnished. And Kshatriya, yeah, but you can't say that's for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those are those delicate things. Of course, ultimately we know it's a pastime that I mean, we can't reduce the whole thing to say it's a pastime, because with even within the Vatsalya relationship, Lord Ramachandra is giving Dasarath the heightened feelings of separation. So yeah, it makes sense in that way. But for Dasarath, it is this son that the word came later, and the word, the promise he had given Kaikeyi came first. And he was indebted to Kaikeyi because she saved his life.
Of Kashyapa Muni, he's given his word, but he understands this is a great
you see the next verses that are coming up. It's unbelievable how he laments the fact that he has given a word and now she's asking for something like this.
So then that is the better principle is to stick to one's word.
Yes, stick to one's word. If you give a word, you stick to it. So when Lakshmana comes to hear about Dasarath Maharaj's sudden change of plans, right? He becomes very angry and he says, according to all principles of religion, you are not only qualified, but you should be the king. Second, he is doing this in a state of weakness because he is weak when it comes to Kaikeyi. It is his weakness, it is wrong. So according to all religious principles, one will say that that is wrong. But Lord Ramachandra said, once he uttered, that is all I care about. If he said, go to the forest, I will go to the forest. And Lakshman has this real conflict in his heart. How is it okay? How is it okay? If everything that Dasarath is doing is wrong. He says, doesn't matter. He said it, and I will follow it. Because he has uttered the word, and my duty is to follow the word of the superior. And you'll see throughout Ramayana, there's this very complex situations. And Lord Ramachandra keeps talking about the word of honor. Given my word, I will do it. Most people don't understand it and they have problem with Lord Ram. Why? Why would you have to do it when it is wrong? Dasarath is wrong. That's how they say. Even Lakshman argues.
Now, there are very exceptional cases where a higher principle might be to break one's word.
Sure. Okay. Now, which higher principle to break, which not, it requires great spiritual standing. Mahajana yena gatha sapantha. So one should know. And without knowing that, one shouldn't take that risk. Because they will end up doing something that may have a reaction to it.
Thank you. My other question was, on the point of neutrality, I was thinking how that applies in the state of maybe one's attached, but to a devotee. If one becomes attached to a genuine devotee, then, I mean, that type of relationship may be partial to this devotee because it's advanced devotee or it's maybe a pure devotee or something. So in one sense, maybe they're acting on an attached platform, but becoming attached to devotees is good. So how do we understand that?
Yeah. Attachment is very good. In fact, Lord Kapila also says that the only way to become out of this material world is that one should become attached to a devotee. So the idea is we should be spiritually attached and materially detached. What is confusing sometimes or cannot be discerned easily is the material component of attachment. As soon as there is a bodily identification, whatever way it shows up, it will compromise. Spiritual attachment? Of course. That is the survival of a devotee. We have to be attached. Our whole methodology in our teachings is you become detached from matter and you become fully attached to Krishna. So attachment is a principle, but spiritually attached.
In the case of becoming attached to a devotee, is it possible if that person is a devotee, the one could be not by bodily relationship, but there's some portion of a material attachment, or it's just being attracted to devotee for whatever reason is a spiritual attachment because that devotee is pure.
You can't generalize it. You'll have to take individual situations, and in that individual situations, discern whether or what proportion of that attachment is material versus fully spiritual. In our cases, we should just take it for granted that it is mixed. We can't say that our attachment to devotees there, devotees here, or devotees, the three levels, that it is fully spiritual. There are material components to it. And to that degree, our ability to be neutral gets compromised. I mean, speaking only in terms of neutrality for now. It's generally considered mixed. Because we're going from attached to matter to attached to Krishna position. And in that, it's not a 0-1 situation, it's a continuum. So, 100% attached to matter, and the next with Krishna Bhakti, you know, Sadhana Bhakti, 99.9 attached and 0.01 attached to Krishna, and slowly we move from there. That's how it is. Yeah, but our whole goal is to become fully attached to Krishna and his devotees. We're not the Mayavadis, where our whole life is about neutrality, not attached to anyone. No. We're not attached to matter. We want to be attached to Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Very much attached, but spiritually. That's why Queen Kunti prays to Krishna, please cut off the material attachments that I have towards my family and let it become fully spiritual. Let those components that cause distress owing to material attachment be removed. Sneha Pasham Chindi. Yeah, you had something else, Acharya?
They say when you have a higher taste, you can give up the lower taste. I remember Prabhupada, you know, in this realm, he would say, do you want me to flatter you or tell you the truth?
Bhaktisiddhanta,
yeah.
Saraswati Thakur, and even Ramanujacharya said that those who criticize me are my real friends.
Yes.
Or paraphrase, something like that.
Srila Prabhupada would just stay in a place for a short time, and because he said that I'm hounded by their parents, you know, because their parents are attached to their kids and the kids have joined the temple, and he just can't handle it all, you know, because their attachment is so great. But he's, and in time they'll understand. So it takes time to deliberate on these things, and then they come to a higher understanding. And then also he said, if they knew what I was saying, that they would kill me. Because it was over their heads, but you know, if they can deliberate on these things.
You know the pastime of Brahmananda Prabhu and Gargamuni Prabhu's mother had come to
yes.
Prabhupada? She had a complaint that Prabhupada had taken both her sons. So she wanted to complain to Srila Prabhupada so that he would let them go. So she came. I think her name was Mrs. Rose or something, I forget. Anyway, she came, and Brahmananda Prabhu introduced her to Srila Prabhupada, and she said, Swamiji, Prabhupada spoke to her or something, and he said, you know, we're doing such nice work, you should donate some money to the movement. So she didn't want to say yes, and she didn't want to give the money, so she thought she will checkmate Prabhupada by saying, but Prabhupada, I've already given my two sons. And Prabhupada said, thank you very much. And that was the end of conversation. She couldn't say, I want my sons back, because you can't take back something you've donated. So I said, thank you very much. So there was no conversation about these two boys again. Very quickly. Yes, Karunanidhi Prabhu, last one, and then we'll end.
Yeah, I was thinking of Prabhupada always says in his lecture, you know, Pravuntincha Nivruntincha. That there is a, he always used the word, how devotee should accept favorable situation for devotion and reject which is not favorable for devotion. So that must remember that.
Pravuntincha Nivruntincha. So the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I only remembered one, two lines of it. That kavayo api atra mohita. Even the great, greatly knowledgeable persons are often bewildered as to what's the right course of action.
Again, one more question is coming. That, what is that called? Is it yogamaya or something by which it will bewilder? When Krishna
right.
bewilders some.
So a few days ago, perhaps you were not there, we were talking that devotees are always under Maya. Always. In fact, Jiva is always under Maya. whether it is Mahamaya or Yogamaya, depends on his disposition of heart towards Krishna. So when his heart is away from Krishna, he is influenced by Mahamaya, the bewildering potency that makes him forget Krishna. And then when he is turned, his heart is turned towards Krishna, then the Maya acts in such a way that it allows him to access Krishna in a very intimate way. It is always under Maya. Because we are called marginal potency. Tatastha Shakti. So either Bahiranga or Antaranga Shakti is always influencing the living entity.
Then can you say that when the situation of Dasaratha or Kashyapuni, is it there in some Maya, means Yoga Maya or something?
Well, you'll hear Kashyapuni tomorrow. So hold on. See what he says. See what his realization is. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.